All right, Alexander, let's talk about what's going on in Belarus. We have, let me start with the Euro funded. They always say that about like RT, that it's Kremlin funded, or BBC. You could say that BBC is UK government funded. Let's go to Euro News, which is Brussels, EU Brussels funded. And they have a title, Thousands Rally in Belarus Capital, Minsk Despite Crackdown. Let's see, thousands of people gathered at a rally in the Belarus capital of Minsk on Thursday in support of opposition candidate Svetlana Tikhanovskaya, who is challenging authoritarian ruler Alexander Lukashenko in presidential elections next month. Observers said the rally was the biggest in Belarus history since independence from the Soviet Union, with estimates the crowd in Minsk Bangalore Square reached over 25,000. Tikhanovskaya, 37, is the wife of jailed opposition blogger and presidential hopeful Sergei Tikhanovsky, who was arrested in May on charges of attacking a police officer, which he rejected as a provocation. She launched a presidential bid after her husband's arrest and has promised to free political prisoners and stage new elections if she is elected into office. Alexander, a quick shout out to Irish Partisan and his channel. He has a really good roundup. He's, I believe he's from Dublin, but he's been living in Minsk for, I believe, 5-6 years. He knows what's going on in Minsk from a local perspective. He has some videos where he explains what's going on, the different candidates, where they stand on the political spectrum. The fact that Tikhanovskaya has she's aligned herself with two other candidates to create a front against Lukashenko, which is an interesting development, a historic development for Belarus. I'll put a link to Irish Partisan's channel as well, where you guys can see his explanation from a local level as to what's going on in Belarus. Alexander, from a geopolitical level, how do you see things?
I think, first of all, that Lukashenko is going to remain president and he's going to see these challenges off. I agree with our friend. That was his analysis. I agree with that completely. And by the way, if the protest really did bring out 25,000 people, then it emphatically was not the biggest protest since Belarus became independent from the Soviet Union. In fact, there have been bigger protests in earlier elections against Lukashenko. So this is he faces a challenge, but it is not in any way a kind of challenge that he can't surmount. Exactly as with the analysis that you were saying, he controls the government, the police and the military are completely loyal to him. He's a fighter, he won't give up, and he will remain in control. But he is getting old, his popularity is dimming. He has annoyed the Russians, who were his main backers, by constantly sniping at them. He's just arrested 32 Russians who he's alleging were involved in some kind of protests against him. And that's a very strange story, which we could just go into a little bit more deeply in a moment. So he's got the Russians annoyed. He's got the Europeans, obviously, they don't like him. That's why Euronews is talking up the prospects of the opposition. And of course, so there's all these problems in Belarus, which are gradually, building up. I mean, it's a stable, fairly affluent place, but it's not quite as rock solid as it was. Now, what happens? It is incredibly important to Russia. I mean, the Russians don't just think of Belarus as another country, even more than Ukraine. They think of it as essentially very much part of the Russian world. It's also strategically extremely important to them. It's one of the sort of key places on their western boundary. So they will not, I think, be happy. In fact, they will resist intensely any attempt to drag or to pull Belarus into the western orbit. I think that if that does happen, if we start to see anything like a sort of Maidan unfold in Belarus, in Minsk, the Russians will react. And this time, and this is the major difference with the events in Ukraine in 2014, they will have the Chinese at their back. And that will, it will be a major stage in the Cold War. So I think what we need to do in the West, we've got to be very careful to let this transition in Belarus play out, let the place sort itself out. But for heaven's sake, don't have any kind of plans of dragging it into the EU or NATO, because that will simply set the stage for a further confrontation down the line, and you will see a strong reaction from the Russians. And there are many, many, many people in Belarus who would support the Russians in this, because the country is divided also. There are a lot of people in Belarus who identify more with Russia than with the West. So that's where we are.
Yeah, I was going to ask you the Maidan component, actually, Alexander. So you may want to elaborate on that a little bit from my take on Belarus and my experience and understanding of Belarus. They are very different than Ukraine, and the culture is very different from Ukrainian culture in that, though Belarus does like the European aspect of where they're located and integrating more with Europe, they are definitely much closer and have a lot more affection for Russia. They're also a population and a culture that really does value. They really value stability and organization and calm. So you may want to elaborate on the possibility of some sort of Maidan. That's my first question. And my second question, where you could wrap up the video as well, is Lukashenko. It's safe to say that he is, for lack of a better word, a dictator. I can't think of another word. Maybe you have another word to describe
I
Lukashenko.
have no other word. I think that's exactly what he is.
Okay. But Lukashenko is a dictator, but he's not always friendly with Russia. He's not always friendly with the West. He does play them off against each other. And I think that's a good segue to discuss this story of the 32 mercenaries that supposedly he caught, Russian mercenaries that he caught in Belarus and he jailed, and they were looking to cause trouble and subvert the elections. It's a strange story, but you may want to get into that as well. But Lukashenko, I just want to preface it by saying Lukashenko, though he's important to Moscow and the Kremlin, and he's important to the West, he doesn't align himself with either Russia or Europe. He's a slippery character. Anyway, get into it.
Well, exactly. I mean, first of all, I agree with your discussion of Belarus. I think this is a country that values stability. I think it's very profoundly different in many ways from Ukraine. I don't think it's got any of the kind of issues about, nationhood and culture that Ukraine had. And over and on top and beyond that, of course, they've had the lesson of what happened in Ukraine. I don't think they want to see the same thing that happened in Ukraine happen to Belarus. I mean, there are a few people in Belarus who think like this. I've come across a couple of them, by the way, but the critical mass of the population are not that way predisposed at all. And you're quite right, the political and economic and cultural connections with Russia are extremely strong. It's very difficult to see those breaking in the same way that has happened to some extent, to a great extent in Ukraine. So I would agree. I think that despite Lukashenko, I mean, his days must be numbered. I don't think that we will see a Maidan situation in Ukraine, in Belarus, sorry. And I think that certainly it would be extremely foolish of anybody in Washington or Berlin or wherever to try to do it. And can I just say, trouble is, of course, those people can be very foolish. But certainly, I hope that wiser voices, more sensible voices, especially in Germany, which has been badly burnt by Ukraine, will not want to go there and will be able to prevail and stop it going in that direction. So that's the first thing to say. Now, about Lukashenko, he has played off. He is a dictator, by the way. I mean, not the most brutal of dictators. I mean, he doesn't round up people in the middle of the night and throw them into, concentration camps, and people don't get executed. It's not the worst dictatorship that there's ever been. It's a fairly soft dictatorship, but nobody should be under any doubt at all that he runs the place and that he runs it with with a very firm hand, and that he's in control, and that elections in Belarus are not free or fair, that the media is not free or fair. If you go to Belarus, there's the trappings of a personality cult built up around him. It is a dictatorship, no question about it. But he is also someone who wants to maintain his independence of action. So exactly as you say, he likes to play the West and the Russians off against each other. And he does so by ultimately aligning Belarus with Russia. He talks about Russia as an allied country. Belarus is in the Collective Security or Treaty Organization, which is the Russian military alliance system that brings together all kinds of Eurasian countries. So Belarus is a member of that. Belarus is a member of the Eurasian Union. And yet, at the same time, he snipes at the Russians all the time. He quarrels with them over ideas about, you know, economic integration. He quarrels with them over gas and oil prices. And of course, and most recently, in the run-up to the election, he's arrested 32 people who were Russians, who were transiting, or so the Russians say, transiting through Belarus on the way to Istanbul. Interesting destination, by the way. One wonders what they were going to do in Istanbul. He's rounded them all up, and he's basically said that they were there to cause trouble during the election and to try, presumably, to destabilize the election. To what purpose and for what end, I am not sure. But he does this all the time. He's done it with great skill. No one who takes over after he's gone will be able to do it to the same extent. And that, I think, is something which, you know, the Belarusians need to understand. He has played this game with the Russians. I think the Russians, because they prefer Lukashenko to any alternative, will grit their teeth and go along with it. But anybody who succeeds him, who tries to play the same game, is going to find that the Russians are going to be much, much more, play much harder ball with them than they've done with Lukashenko. So we'll see what happens. I would add, by the way, that the Russians, for their part, have not always handled Belarus very well. I mean, they have treated Belarus in a rather condescending way, treating it somehow, you know, as a, you know, sort of funny little country on their western border that, you know, has a rather odd man as his president, and you know, really doesn't understand where its true interests lie, which are to come back to Mother Russia, to enter the re-enter Mother Russia's fold. They've been patronizing and condescending with Belarus, and they've not always played their cards in Belarus very well. But at the end of the day, they are the big power in the neighborhood, and I think people in Belarus also need to understand that.
All right, real quick, Alexander, what were these 32 guys doing? I mean, were they going to do in Istanbul? Why did Lukashenko arrest them? Were they out to cause trouble? Were they mercenaries? What do you think?
I think they are mercenaries. I don't think there's any real doubt about that. I think some of them, by the way, are not even Russians. They're from the Donbass. They were people who'd fought in the Donbass wars. So there's that issue as well. So I think they were mercenaries. I think they were on their way to the Middle East. My own guess is they were on the way to Syria or to Libya. Interesting that they were flying through Istanbul. But I'm going to make a guess that there was a tip-off from Western intelligence to Lukashenko, saying these guys are off to Libya, and that Lukashenko, and they asked him to interrupt them because, you know, for the West, this is a big issue at the moment. You know, Russian mercenaries from this weird Wagner company going to Libya. And I think they asked him to stop them transiting to Istanbul and from there going on to Libya. And he did it for them. I mean, it's his way of showing to the Western powers that he's useful to them too, and that they should leave him where he is. So it's, again, Lukashenko playing this very intricate game between the Russians and the West. Why did they transit through Belarus? That's a very interesting question. But I saw on the TASS news site, which is the official Russian news agency, that there were problems with their flights going directly to Istanbul. So they had to go through, so they tried to do it through Belarus. And that turns out, a particularly good idea. So that's what I think it was. I think it's not about Belarus itself. I think it's about the Middle East and about the situation in the Middle East. But I think Lukashenko was asked to block them by the Western powers, the US, and he did them a favor by doing it. And at the same time, he's won himself some brownie points with the West. He stirred up the Russians and annoyed them a little, and he's reminded the Belarusian people that he's the person who keeps Belarus stable, but also keeps the Russians at bay. So, you know, a win for him.
Yeah, he's clever, but real quick, Alexander, I have to ask your opinion on this, which is off the topic of Belarus. Libya, that makes sense. this Wagner group. Russia's got to stop with this Wagner group. I think it's hurting them. I mean, this is really stupid. I would expect something better from Russia with this Wagner situation.
I completely agree. I have to say this idea that the Wagner group or Wagner group or whatever, however it's called, pronounced in Russian, that you can use it as a kind of secret cat's paw to send mercenaries around the world. And then, you can deny that, the Kremlin is involved. I mean, this is silly. It's absolutely silly. No one is taken in. It's actually also very manipulative and exploitative of the people who are involved. If the Russian government wants to send contractors to Libya, it should do so openly. I mean, as Western governments do, by the way. I mean, Western governments and contractors to Libya, they send, to Libya before, to Iraq, to all sorts of places, but they do so openly, not pretend all the time that this has nothing to do with the Kremlin. Well, it obviously does. And I mean, it's one of these stupid and silly things that the Russians can do from time to time, which work against them.
Yeah, it's hurting them. It's hurting them because these guys are getting caught everywhere. They're getting busted everywhere they go.
Exactly. It should, because it's a tawdry outfit. And not only that, but as I say, it puts the people who serve in it in a very, very bad position, because what happens is they get arrested or they get killed. And the Russian government is able to wash its hands of them and pretend that it's got nothing to do with them. So it's not treating these people well, and they are Russian citizens. So, it's manipulative, it's treacherous, and it should stop in Russians' interests.
I agree, it should stop. We've gotten a lot of stories with this Wagner group, and everyone is bad. Everyone is bad.
Yeah, everyone is bad. I mean, it's bad. It's bad from every point of view. And as I said, somebody in the Kremlin came up with this ridiculous idea, and it needs to stop. As I said, it's just a very, very bad thing, very ugly thing, and it causes Russia no end of embarrassment, and all of Russia's objectives, all the objectives that they've been trying to achieve, they can achieve without it, or if they can't achieve it without Wagner group, then they shouldn't pursue those objectives, because using the Wagner group is just so counterproductive that in the end it leaves such a bad taste that whatever you achieve with it just isn't worth achieving.
Yeah, I agree. All right, Alexander Mercurs, editor-in-chief of Durand, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below, smash that like. Please check us out on Subscribestar and PayPal and Patreon, even though there's some news about Patreon. We'll do that in another video. Anyway, PayPal, Subscribestar for sure. And also go to the Durand shop, pick up some merchandise, magic mugs.
Magic mugs. Here's one with the flag of the U.S., which you can see.
Serbia here.
Serbia, absolutely. And I've got Britain also. The U.S.
And you also have Britain on.
Britain, absolutely. And since we've been talking about Russia, I've got the little one with Russia too, but we've got lots and lots of countries. We've got Canada, we've got Germany, we've got Italy, I believe is coming, France, I believe is coming. It's all there already. So go to our shop and you find all these amazing, amazing mugs. They're getting better all the time, and you also find enameled mugs there too. But today I am going to talk mainly about our fabulous shirts, because as you can see, I am wearing a new one. It is a magnificent, wonderful, phenomenally comfortable, exceptionally stylish shirt. It arrived today to me in London, and you can see what a great shirt it is. And for those who can't see, it's got the flag of the United Kingdom there within our double-headed eagle. So, as a Briton, as a proud servant, a loyal servant of Her Majesty the Queen, I have the British Union Jack there. So it is they're amazing shirts. They're the best shirts you can find. They're 100% cotton. They're incredibly, sensationally comfortable. You can see how happy I am in mine. You can see how happy Alex is in his. He's wearing a shirt with the flag of Canada there, which you can see. They are great shirts. We are expanding our gallery of shirts. There are more shirts coming, amazing shirts. You can find them in our shop. You can find the amazing magic mugs too. You can find all kinds of other great things, hats, hoodies, stickers. You can find a wonderful ever-expanding gallery or library of ebooks. So you can support the Durand by coming to our shop. You can be the owner of these great things. And Alex will remind you how to do it.
Just go to thedurandshop.com. You'll find the link underneath this video. Alexander Merkers, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.